in the thousands of people who they don't want to go hungry, are they going to encourage Jesus to send them off to the towns to get food for themselves? And there's this exchange between Jesus and the disciples that's really very penetrating to our soul, because it's so similar, I think, to how we often feel. Jesus says, give them something to eat, and they say, well, we don't have anything else, we have these 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that with so many people? And we often find ourselves in this world wanting to make a difference, wanting to be of help, wanting to contribute in helpful ways, and feel like what we have isn't sufficient. Problems of the world, not even like the whole world, but even our little world that we live in, problems seem to be too great for us to have the resources to solve them, resolve them, in a sense even to try. It's easy to become discouraged and disheartened. But our Lord said, bring them here, bring those things here. And this simple act of offering, really of obedience to our Lord, to offer what we have to Christ, even though it's radically insufficient and inadequate for the problems that we face, really becomes the central act of faith. This expression of obedience, this response to our Lord saying, give me what you have, what little you have. It's hard for us to do this. It's easier for us to dwell in that spot where we feel inadequate and insufficient and maybe even a little sorry for ourselves sometimes. But notice also that this same thing comes up as an expression of envy. We'll notice other people that are maybe healthier than we are, stronger, more energetic, have better financial resources, and we're inclined to have this feeling like, oh, if I were like that person, if I had what that person had, then I'd be able to help other people better. If I had that intelligence or that education or that training, then I would be able to help other people better. But this is a great danger, a great temptation, even if it comes in the context of wishing that we could do more for other people. Because it distracts us from offering ourselves to God. We want to offer somebody that we're not. Sometimes even in the worst cases, our imagination starts running wild and we start imagining ourselves to be somebody that we're not. Somebody with more wealth, more strength, more spirituality, more piety, holier, better. And we, as it were, trying to offer this pretend person to God, this phony person, this fake person. This is really Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees, offering not themselves to God, but offering, as it were, what they wish they were, what they wanted to appear to be to other people, offering someone else than themselves, some idealized image of themselves. But what Jesus asked of the disciples is, offer what you have, what you really have, who you really are. That can be transformed. But when we want to offer to God what we wish we were, either because we see it in another person or we imagine it in our heads, then God can't do anything with that. He can't do anything with our imagination. Sometimes the Holy Fathers will say God exists everywhere, except for in our imagination. In our imagination, we construct this world, and even if we put God in it, it's a sort of a manufactured God, a God of our own making. In the services of the church, several times, 3 times already, and more to come, we'll have this really simple and beautiful petition where we remember the Holy Theotokos and all the saints. And in remembering them, what we are sort of compelled to do is to offer ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. This is really the central act of the human being. Even from before the fall, God created human beings to live in this earth for him to dwell. and for us to offer that creation to Him, just within ourselves, in this sort of unity within our own hearts, that all that He's given us is given to Him. So it's profoundly human. And the saints, the Holy Theotokos and the saints, are those who have become truly and profoundly human. And the rest of us tend to live a pretend life that's not human. The Holy Theotokos, more than anyone that's ever lived, offered herself as she was. Be it done to me according to your word. And all of the saints follow in that pattern precisely because they offered to God who they truly were, what God had given them. Maybe this disability, maybe that mental illness, maybe this physical disability, maybe great wealth and fortune, maybe great strength and power, maybe great cleverness, maybe a large family, maybe a small family, maybe a life of chastity, living in the world, living in the monastic community. Whatever it is that God gave to them, the saints were able to offer that back to God, not offering something else, not offering what they wish they were, who they wish they were, what they wish they had. And in doing that, they were all able to, exactly as we pray, offer ourselves. And in that context, we can even offer one another. We don't simply offer ourselves because we're united with one another. This is why in the epistle that we heard today, St. Paul is so strict about the divisions that are going on in Corinth. One time Paul, another time Apollos, another time Silas. We don't have to have these factions in the life of the church, whatever they are, because we're connected with one another. We're all one body. And so we offer ourselves and we offer one another. And we offer our whole life. The wholeness of the life is both its extensiveness, its vastness, but also its wholeness in the sense of its health, its interconnectedness, its integrity. And we offer that back to God. This is really what happens in today's gospel with the disciples. They offer who they truly are and what God has truly given them so that God can take it and multiply it, as it were. Because the good that needs to be done in the world is not a worldly or human goodness. The good that needs to be done in the world is a spiritual enlivening of people's hearts. And so, after this, a little bit after this event here, Jesus will be in dialogue with the disciples, and they're concerned about bread because they didn't bring it, they're in a boat, and they didn't bring any bread with them. And Jesus says to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're thinking that he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to give them bread because that the bread that they cook is not good for your health or something. But Jesus is so disheartened. He says, haven't you yet understood the feeding of the multitude, the feeding of the 5,000? Don't you know that it's not really about the physical health, the physical stamina? That it's really about this inner life, connectedness to Christ. So if we want to really make a difference in the world around us, if we feel this urge of compassion and care for the problems of our own life and our own little small world and now in the fullness, the full world, the whole earth, the whole universe, then the way to do it is to not try to pretend to be somebody that we're not, but to offer to God who we are, what He's given us, without any kind of elaboration, imagination, without offering what we wish we were that we see in someone else. So offer ourselves and one another and the whole of our life to Christ our God. In the name of